So my story is about my good horse, Scruffy. It was 1990 and we needed a pack horse. We were looking around for one, couldn't really find any in our price range, so we went to the spring quarter horse auction, and they were running horses through the pen that had never had a halter on, and they were selling for $1,000, way over our price range. One day, the shoer calls and tells us he found a horse for us for $300. We jumped right on that. He was long yearling, bay gelding out of a paint mare, and his father was off the track. He hadn't shed out all the way yet. It was quite scruffy looking, so we named him Smokey. Russ Barnett told us that the backcountry horsemen were packing in fence posts for a new Jack Lake Corral at Granite Cabin that next weekend, and he said we should come along and help. We weren't planning on packing Smokey, only pointing him along. When we got to the trailhead, Smokey got out of the trailer, and Russ said, "Well, now that's a scruffy-looking horse." As we came to the ford at Granite Creek, Smokey put on the brakes, and he wouldn't cross. So I turned my saddle horse around to try and get him moving, and of course that was a mistake, because Dusty wanted to be up by her friend Cisco, who Deborah was riding and was already across the creek. So not to cause a wreck, I jumped off, and there I was. Dusty's lead rope in one hand pulling me one way, and Smokey's lead rope in the other hand dragging me the other way. Dusty, being bigger and stronger, won and dragged me and Smokey across Granite Creek. This went okay until the water got up to the top of my boots, then started running in, and it was rather cold since it was the middle of May. And the rest of the ride went better. We bought Smokey's pack saddle from Russ and asked him to come over to make sure we got it to fit correctly. Russ came over to help and started to call him Scruffy again. This time the name stuck and he's been Scruffy ever since. So we get the pack saddle fit, have our sling ropes and Mandy's ready to go, so we decided we better practice before we hit the big time. We go to a trailhead up Haskell Basin, get saddled up, and go to load our mantied up bags of grain on Scruffy's new pack saddle. It all went good until we pulled on the sling ropes, and Scruffy went berserk from the sound of the sling rope on the Manti. This might be a long day, we thought. We finally got loaded up and on our way. Things were going pretty good for at least the first 5 minutes. Then we hit the brush. When the brush was rubbing up against the Manti, Scruffy lost it again. We kept going with a firm grip on his lead rope and made it quite a ways that day. We practiced with Scruffy a couple more times, and he got better, well, a little bit better anyway. No, a few weeks have passed, and we think we're ready for the big time, so we plan a pack trip into the Wild Badger to Medicine Country. We started at the Summit Trailhead a couple of miles east of Mariah's Pass. Well, things were going pretty good as we unloaded the horses from the trailer. Someone told us we should borrow his panniers instead of doing that whole Mantian thing, so we did. Bad advice. The panniers are way too big. We got our goods loaded up, but didn't have any room for our bucket, so we tied that on top. No problem, we thought. Well, as I'm sure you know, when the trains hit Mariah's Pass, they start blowing their horns. And this goes on for a couple miles on each side of the pass. Scruffy was quite opposed to the horn blowing, and as he was pulling pretty hard, he yanked the lead rope out of my hand and started bucking across the trailhead. The more he bucked, the harder the panniers banged against him, and of course the bucket banged as well. And he kept bucking and banging and bucking, and after a few minutes he played out. We adjusted our loads and headed in. After about a quarter mile, the mud bogs began. Scruffy hated the mud, and Dusty, my saddle horse, hated the mud. Fortunately for us, Deborah's saddle horse, Cisco, wasn't concerned about the mud, so Deborah would lead Dusty into the mud while I was stretched out holding on to Scruffy's lead rope. She would ride around him and get him moving into the mud. The mud went on and on and on. After about 3 miles and 3 hours, which is different than Smoke's 3 miles an hour, this is 1 mile per hour, we got to a meadow on the Two Medicine River and decided to set up camp for the night. Then it started to rain and then pour, so we decided to axe the pack trip and head home the next day. So we did the same thing, only backwards, through the mud. As summer turned into fall, Scruffy was pretty much telling us he didn't really care to be a pack horse, so we decided we'd ride him. That winter, Deborah decided to ride him, and it just so happened she decided to do it without a saddle. Things went good for about the first 5 minutes, then Scruffy shot out from under her so fast she landed on her feet. We collected him up, and the same thing happened again about 10 minutes later. We decided it was going to take a lot more to get him to be a saddle horse. We worked on it through the winter, and by spring he was doing pretty good. So we tried riding Scruffy and packing Dusty. This went well, as Dusty told us she liked being a pack horse more than being a saddle horse. Scruffy was still freaked out about anything in the woods, whether it moved or not, so you had to make sure you were sitting deep when you were riding him. In those days, we'd be riding 70, 80 days by the time the snow flew in the fall, so Scruffy was starting to get things figured out, and he was starting to trust us. Of course, you always had to be sitting deep when you're riding Scruffy because you never knew when he was going to spin around and be facing the other direction on the trail. Like the time we were going up to the White River Pass from the east side, right there when you're out on the edge of the cliff, looking out over thousands of bear grass blooming in the cirque, and all of a sudden he's facing the wrong way on the trail, looking at the pack horses. It really wouldn't have been that bad, except he didn't make it all the way around without dropping his feet over the cliff. So all I saw was flowers, no horse. Then he popped back up on the trail. This whole spin probably took 2 seconds and about 10 years off my life. In the late 90s, we were packing hay in a granite cabin for the Forest Service. We had about 15 horses between the three or four of us that was doing the packing. After unloading the hay into the barn, we tied all the horses inside the corral to the top rail of the Jack Lake fence. We went down and ate our lunch sitting in the sun by the big rock behind the cabin. After a couple hours, we went back to the corral and part of the Jack Lake fence had been pulled over, the part Scruffy was tied to. I untied him, set the fence back up, and pondered how ironic it was that Scruffy pulled over the fence that he helped pack in on his first trip into the backcountry. Scruffy, like a lot of horses, has excellent night vision. We'd been camping up on Pedro Creek, went up over Larch Hill Pass, and were working our way down along the Chinese Wall, intending to camp on the West Fork of the Sun below Prairie Reef at a favorite camping place of ours. Well, we fooled around too long, and as we got to Burnt Creek at the south end of the wall, it was starting to get dark. When we dropped down to the West Fork, it was really dark. We were on the lookout for the trail that we needed to turn on when Scruffy takes a right turn and heads down the steep hill. Because of the steepness of the hill, we knew it was the right trail to be on. Then we had to cross the river 3 times to get to our camping spot. So we cross the river 3 times and Scruffy stops. We get our headlights out, trying to decide if we had the right place or not. It looked like a good spot, so we set up the high line, set up camp, let the horses graze for a couple hours. In the morning, we found that Scruffy had picked out the exact right camp spot, and that the night before, he'd stopped at his place on the high line. Another time, we had a contract with the Forest Service to pack several trips into the Turquoise Lake and the Missions. After the first trip in, we decided we'd double our money by packing 2 trips in 1 day. The trail was steep, but had many switchbacks, so it wasn't too hard on the horses. So a few days later, we did all the goods we needed to pack and started out early. Got back to the trailers, loaded up, and started up the trail again. Being late in the fall, we left Turquoise Lake the second time about the time it was getting dark. And boy, was it dark. I figured we'd be okay because by now I trusted Scruffy's night vision. We made it down all the switchbacks and about a mile from a flat trail, crossing the river once, then the wilderness sign. When we crossed the river, I thought it was a bit dark, so I put my hand in front of my face and couldn't see it. Even took my glove off, nothing. I guess it was sort of dark. We never did see the wilderness sign when all of a sudden Scruffy puts on the brakes and stops. I'm saying, come on, Scruffy, let's go. It's getting a bit late. Scruffy wouldn't move. I thought this was odd, so I jumped off, and my first step, I banged into the trailer. Not only was Scruffy at the trailer, he was at his place in the trailer. Through the years, we realized that Scruffy had incredible speed. About the time he was 10, ski drawing came to Whitefish, and I have a friend who had skied on the World Cup when he was a kid, and we sort of dared each other that we should give this a shot. The competition was held at the Whitefish Airstrip, and as we lived 2 miles directly east of the end of the strip, I figured the worst that could happen was that Scruffy wouldn't make the first turn and we'd head straight for home. Yeah. I just had to make sure I was sitting deep. I figured we'd better practice, so we built a track in the pasture and went to work. Scruffy loved pulling the skier. It's my guess he was racing the skier, and he was always winning. He gets so amped up that you could barely get the rope on the horn before he blew out of the start gate. It got so his cue to take off was when he felt the rope hit the horn. Scruffy did a great job as a ski drawing horse. The first year we won more money than we paid for him. And most years we won money until he finally retired from ski drawing at 23, still beating horses that were 10 to 15 years younger than he was. And his last year, there were 40 teams in our class and he came in third place.
Wow.
Of course, Scruffy isn't a town horse. The loudspeakers blasted that evil rock and roll music right by the start gate, and the few thousand fans are crowded around the course screaming at the top of their lungs, and about 80 other horses are milling around the start gate. And oh yeah, the course is set up on the Whitefish Airstrip, which is right next to the train tracks. As the trains went by and blew their horns, Scruffy would even run even faster, usually in the right direction. The first few years, we used Cisco as a Judas horse to get Scruffy into the start pen. In the last couple of years, instead of fighting him, I'd lead him in on foot, leap into the saddle, slap the rope over the horn, and blast out of there. As I came off a warm-up lap one time, an old cowboy asked me why I was grabbing leather. After I made my run with my skier, I asked him if he figured out why. He said he understood. Scruffy had an incredible handle on him, and when he was blasting down the track. Went off my heel, and he'd take a step that direction. One night we were practicing, and it was getting pretty dark out, and at the last second I realized we were heading for the jump. I figured we were probably going to be dead. But one tap on my heel and he swung to the side of the jump, avoiding disaster. About the time we started ski jarring, we had started to accumulate a string of horses that could be both ridden and packed. On days we were in the backcountry and weren't moving camp and just going on a day ride, I'd ride Willie and put Scruffy in the pack string. Well, Scruffy had never been tied in the pack string before, so I decided he better be the first horse in the string until he knows what to do. Well, this went good for about 5 minutes. When the second pack horse gave a tug on the piggin string, Scruffy felt that rope tighten and he was off. He thought it was a race. I had pack horses trying to pass on both sides of me, and a set in deep wasn't going to help. I bailed. Scruffy did stop as piggin strings were breaking left and right. After that, I tied him in the back of the string, and he loved it back there. Always came along and never broke a piggin string. When Scruffy was 14, we were packing hay and grain for the Forest Service, and we got in a jam where we needed to pack Scruffy. We hadn't packed him since he was 2. Remember what happened when he was 2? To say the least, I was a bit nervous. As I was slinging on his loads of oats, I felt like I was loading onto a bucking horse at the chutes in the rodeo. I got him loaded up, tied to the end of the pack string, and he didn't miss a beat all the way to the Spruce Park cabin. He handled like an old pro. After Scruffy became a teenager, he started to get some patience and not be so scared of everything he saw. We thought he might make a good horse one day. Then we got into a tangled mess of trees and phone wire on the South Fork. We had camp set up at the White River Park for several days, and after there had been a couple thunderstorms with big winds and lots of burnt trees coming down, we decided to wait a day to go out to Meadow Creek, hoping that someone else would have to do the work of cutting out the east side trail that was very heavily used. So we saddled up, were on the trail by sunup, made it about a half mile when we got into the downfall. Lodgepole laid down, looking just like matchsticks for miles and miles. No way around them, no way over them, so we started cutting and cutting and cutting. Well, along with all the downfall was the infamous South Fork phone line wire. We love that Spotted Bear puts the effort into keeping the historic phone line operable, as it's the last one left in the country. However, on that day, as it snaked through the downfall, Scruffy was less than impressed with it. When one of the other pack horses would step on the tight wire, it would make this zinging sound, and Scruffy had no idea what it was, and he wanted out of there. The only problem was that there was no place for him to go, so he'd try and back up. And the rest of the pack horses would back up. And one of them would step on the phone wire and make that same sound again. We got so every time we'd stop to cut, the first thing I would do is cut the phone line to get the tension off it so it wouldn't keep getting Scruffy. Well, about dark that night, we hit the Mid Creek Ford. After drinks, the horses took off, tired of all this stopping to cut nonsense, and it looked like the trail ahead of us had at least been cut out a little bit. After about 5 minutes, we came around the corner, and there was an outfitter with his dudes coming up the trail. Well, there was no way Scruffy was stopping, and with all the pack horses pushing against him, he couldn't stop if he wanted to. The outfitter and his mule string were able to get off the trail, and his dudes made the bad decision to go off the trail on the other side. So now his herd was split, and the dude's horses were trying to get back to the mules, and we were in the middle. By the time Deborah came through on Moonbeam, he was at a high lope. I'm sure that night was our fastest trip from Mid Creek to Middle Creek. One day, our friend Marie asked us to help her round up her cow herd so she could separate and haul the steers and coals to the auction yard. Deborah rode Cisco as he had cow blood in him, and I rode Scruffy, having no idea if he'd be scared to death of cows or know what to do. Well, Marie had 5 sections with a perimeter fence in the rough Palouse country by the Big Bend on the Columbia. There were only about 100 head of cows. How hard could it be? Well, she sort of forgot to mention that her cows were wild as elk and mean as bears. As the ranch was real rough and broken country, we decided we'd get up a group of 10 or 12 head and ease them down to the holding pen. There was a real good holding pen with the wing leading out to a shale slide, so we'd be able to get the cows right in, no problem. Well, we got the first group together and started heading down to the holding pen. As we were going along, cows were joining up from all over the place, coming out of every coulee and draw. After a short while, we had a group of about 50 head with their calves and no way to herd them along as the country was so broken. So Deborah was in the back pushing them, and Marie and I rode the wings, but there were so many hills and coulees we would be out of sight most of the time. We'd hang out on the trails between the hills, making sure the cows didn't cut back on us, then we had to hurry and get to the next one before the leaders of the herd got there. We finally got them to the holding pen, And after about half the cows were in, they figured out what was going on. They didn't like the idea, so they decided to leave the country up the shale slide. Well, Scruffy was quite upset about this and wanted to follow them. I figured if Scruffy could get around them, he could cut them off and get them back down to the holding pen. So I gave him his head, grabbed leather, and set deep as he took off. I couldn't believe he was making it up the shale slide. I was scared to death. I figured as long as I didn't touch the reins and screw things up, everything would turn out okay. We finally got around the lead cow and got her turned back down the slide and headed back to the holding pen. After we got all the cows back to the corrals, they started to smash into the fences and tear them down if they could. Some of the cows would clear five rails without touching the fence. One of the bulls took down the top two rails as he went over, and we decided we'd better catch him before he left the country. I hopped on Scruffy, and as we're racing after the bull, Scruffy steps on a roll of wire lying on the ground. Mm-hmm. A strand of it gets stuck between his shoe and his hoof, and all that in my mind was from the year before when we were in that wire, and I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Well, after about three strides, the wire fell off, and we were able to get around the bull. I was still alive. As you can tell, Scruffy is a great horse. He's carried me thousands of miles in the backcountry, and has made memories I'll have the rest of my life. I quit using Scruffy as a lead horse when he was 23, and now he's 26. We still put shoes on him every spring. He loves to come along as the last pack horse. He'll usually carry our slickers and lunch, never anything heavy anymore. One real important thing I learned from the old packers like Smoke and many others is that you never give up on a good horse. There's an old saying that old packers never own much, just some horses, saddles, and rope. The primary reward of being a packer was the pleasure of living a packer's life.